Good morning, church. As we begin this new series called Journeying Together, I must admit that I'm quite excited to be able to spend the next term or two journeying together with you. What does that mean? What does journeying together mean? You'll find out in this next term. I think, you know, journeying together for me has really... It's something that has been deep and near to my heart, but it really kind of, I have trouble formulating words to really express what journeying together means outside of this one film that I watched with Theo. So here goes, right? There's a film called Dinosaur. It's a Walt Disney film somewhere in the 2000s. And what happens is... you know, you have this young iguanodon, right, named Aladar, and he's been adopted by a family of monkeys, right? Bear with me, all right, we'll get there. For the sake of time, I won't go into it. Anyways, so he and his family are driven from their homeland, right? Through a natural disaster, they're driven out and their home is destroyed, and they are washed ashore into this new and unknown land, right? Young Aladar and his family are trying to explore this area to see if there's any life or any other dinosaurs or if any other friends or family on the island made it out, right? But they stumble across this herd, and they find themselves in the midst of this herd that is migrating into their nesting grounds, right? But this journey is a treacherous one. They have harsh weather, right, because they're crossing vast deserts. They have to fight the heat. There's no water, no food. And so you see this herd struggling together to get to these nesting grounds, kind of like this promised land. And what ends up happening, though, is that this herd is led by these young, strong iguanodon that set this military pace, and everybody needs to follow this pace, or else, you know, they get left behind. And left behind for the predators that are also following them. And Aladar, you would think, is this young dinosaur who goes, oh, you know, he's young, he's fresh, he can follow along. But what he finds out is that actually at the end of this herd, there are older dinosaurs that are really struggling, who have made this journey time and time again, but every step they get more weary, their bones are more heavy. And Aladar and his family, again, because he's looking out for his family, could have easily gone, not my problem, I'm going to follow the herd, I'm going to stick with the herd. But he has great compassion for these dinosaurs that are struggling, because it's not just older dinosaurs, but it's younger, you know, little ones and stuff like that. And so he intentionally holds back and follows and encourages these older dinosaurs and sticks with them and struggles to help them along and to keep this pace at his own cost. Even as they face danger together, he sticks with them. And for me, Theo is watching this going, ooh, dinosaurs. For me, I'm going, there's a sermon illustration in here somewhere, and now I'm cashing in. Here we go, right? But I'm getting hit with this massive just, wow, what an idea that is. That no matter what age, no matter what giftings you may or may not have, or no matter what society says about you, that this dinosaur is sticking back and still encouraging that this herd move forward and journey together, no matter what challenges they face ahead. And I was taken aback, because in culture and in society today, we get a much different message. If you reach a certain age, take a back seat. You've done your part. You have no more use for us. Or if you're too young, you don't have enough experience. Leave it to those who have fresh bones, who are ready to go, who have passion. Right? We see that all the time, everywhere we go, that this message that community is about what you can bring to the table. But sadly, the thing that really humbled me and really broke my heart is that I've seen too many churches fall under this same message. I've seen far too many churches say, if you've hit a certain age, you're done. I've seen so many churches go, you know what, here's our vision. Keep pace, follow up, or get left behind. I've seen too many churches say, this is our vision, take it or leave it. And I'm not saying that's where we're at now, but it's a warning and a level of accountability for me. Is this what I get caught up in at times? Is this what we've come to as a church? I'm not talking about Christchurch Woodbury, but the church as a whole, as a body of believers, have we adopted this mentality? That if you're too old, too young, if you can't keep up with the pace, you're done. I think if you have truly been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you are one that calls upon the name of Jesus and Lord and Savior, if you are one that partakes of communion, the broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, may this be this idea, may this attitude be far from you. Because we know, individually, we know what Christ has done for us. And we know, as John said earlier this morning, that we had no right. But it was a free gift that God has given to us. That we have been invited into community with God. That's what I'm saying. You and I have been invited. We've been given an opportunity to be invited into the community with God. We just heard Tim read from the chapter 3, 1 through 13. It talks all about this mystery. And what is this mystery that Paul is talking about? It's a mystery that we as sinners, we who've considered enemies of God, who've turned our backs against God, we who say that we know how we want to live our life and we choose to live our life differently than the way God has laid it out, we who have turned our backs against God have been invited into community with Him through the love, through the life, through the death and sacrifice and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. So for us who follow Jesus Christ, may that attitude be far from us. We ought to know what true community looks like because we have been invited into beautiful community with God. And yes, God saves us individually, but God also saves us into community. We are saved into a community with one another. We need one another. We need one another. If you look at the New Testament, and we don't have time to go through all of the one another commands, but I'm sure if you've been a churchgoer, you've heard these commands over and over and over again. Time and time, the authors of the New Testament have been writing about how we ought to obey these commands to serve, to love, to care for, to do all of these things to one another, with one another. If you're reading these commands, you know that living in community is not optional. Community, beautiful Christian community is not an option. It's not something you can opt out of. It is necessary for our growth, not just individually, but as a church. Living in community is not optional, it's necessary for growth. But as you and I know very well, that community is costly, comes at a great cost. Who better knows this than Jesus? Jesus knows the costliness of living in community. As we see in Philippians 2, that he emptied himself. He came to earth. He humbled himself. Experienced what we experienced. Limited himself to understand and experience the limitations that we have. He knows what it costs to live in community. And that community killed him. Again, pointing back to communion. It killed him. And we who follow Jesus are called to do the same thing. We are called to die. We are called to die to self. We are called to die to our own desires. We are called to die to our own preferences and even our very expectations. We are called to die to those things. Because as we can see, and we have seen time and time again, when we don't die to those things, community breaks down, falls apart. That cost seems very great. Seems like a large cost. You know, we say, you know, salvation is free, but it costs something. That doesn't make sense. But we know, those who have followed Jesus for a very long time know that the cost that we pay, the cost, the things that we give up, the many times that we die to self is worth it. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 11, 25, Jesus basically says, we die to self now so that we can enjoy true life forever. What we do now impacts what we do forever. Is this, and this is a challenge to us as a church, I challenge myself with this as well. Is this self-giving attitude that we see laid out for us in Christ, through Christ's life, his death and his resurrection, is this self-giving attitude found in our church? Is it found in our very hearts? And if you're not seeing this, I'm sure you're not alone. But if you're not seeing this self-giving attitude, this self-giving posture within our church, I also challenge you to do something. To do something. We've all heard the phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side, haven't we? But I was taught, if the grass is greener on the other side, you got to water your own grass, right? That's what I've been taught. And if you want an image, right, come over to my place and you'll see. My garden's a hot mess, right? It's overgrown. I'm making excuses time and time. You know, I gotta cut it back. I get it. And Margaret, I'm sorry, as you walk past my place, the shrubs are trying, they're just trying to give you a hug. That's what it's all about. I need to cut it back though, right? But I look at my neighbor, right? Ooh, and you can take a ruler and you can see it's all even. The shrubs are all like square and shaped and everything like that. And I look at that and go, okay, well, can I just go sit in his garden then? And just go, life is good. No, I can't. I got to put in the work myself to put my stuff right. If I see an issue, I got to do it. I can't make excuses. And again, I'm preaching to myself. I can't make excuses. I got to do it. And that's the same thing with community. Community is not something that is found. It's something that's built. We are now in an age where people are going church to church looking for things that fulfill them, that meet their needs. If I go to this church, how's the preaching? If I go to this church, how's the music? How's the worship? If I go to this church, does it have community? And I'm saying if community is something to be found, again, it's not going to last. Community is something that we must build together. Each and every one of us needs to put in the work so that this can be a place we truly want it to be, a reflection of what beautiful community is all about, what we've been shown through Jesus Christ and what we show to others in this room as believers of Jesus Christ, and further on to what we show to our neighbors, to our colleagues, to our children, to those who don't know Jesus. But community is messy, isn't it? It is messy. Why? Because we're all sinners. We're all messed up. If you're sitting in this room thinking that we are all perfect, besides myself, no, it's not a thing, is it? No, it's not. We're all sinners. In need of Jesus' constant grace, his constant mercy, his constant transforming power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can get to that point. In no way can we do it by our own strength. No way can we do it on our own. We need to rely and remember on Christ. He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. If we want to build community, we cannot build it on our expectations. We can't build it on our imagination. No, we got to build our community on the foundation, the cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ. If it's anything apart from Jesus, it crumbles. Remember that Jesus is the foundation in which we build all of these things. If we build it on our imagination, it won't break up. It won't last. It'll fall apart. We're building our house on sand. It's like this. Many years ago, I had a friend, and she was cute. And I liked her, right? And I said, oh, well, I'm going to build up courage, and I'm going to ask her out. And that courage took a while. But anyways, as I was building up the courage, in my mind, I started to think about what my relationship with her could be like. I started daydreaming. Oh, how nice, right? Oh, how nice would it be to hold her hand? How nice would it be to, you know, just be in a relationship? Oh, it'd be so good. It'd be perfect. You know, she'd know everything I want. I'd know, you know, it'd be perfect. Perfection. And then, you know, and so I built up this whole idea of what this relationship needed to be and what I wanted it to be. I gained the courage, and of course I asked her out, and of course she said yes. But the thing is, from the beginning, very beginning, it was doomed to fail. Because from the very beginning, she failed every expectation that I had had. Right? Why are your hands so clammy? You know, that's not how it was. You know, like, why? You know, do you see what I'm saying? I fell in love with the idea of what it would be like to be with this girl. But then when reality came in and realized that, man, I put her to an impossible standard she could not meet. Because my imagination was powerful. And to put her in that was incredibly unfair. To put those standards on her was incredibly unfair, because as many of us in this room will know, relationships are messy and they take time. And the reason why our relationships last is because we are willing to stick it through all of the messiness. We're willing to fight for our marriages. We're willing to fight for our relationships. And even in community, we all have our idea of what perfect community looks like. Oh, I'm ill. Ding dong. Oh, people from church bringing me stuff. Oh, you shouldn't have. Oh, I'm going through a difficult time. Oh, Sammy knew to put something out in the prayer chain. I didn't even talk to him about it. Wow, amazing. You know, we have all of these things that we, you know, oh, we have all of these ideas of what perfect community ought to be, or what we, at least we want perfect community to look like. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this: those who love their dream of Christian community more than they love the Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community. He's saying, if you love the idea that you've put in your head of what community ought to look like more than your brother and sister sitting right next to you, we got problems, because that community is bound to fail. As we move forward in this series, and even as a church entering into a new season of life, of church, of everything, as the future is ahead of us, right? I want to encourage each and every one of you and challenge each and every one of you to really, really ask yourselves these questions. Am I willing to put in the work? Am I willing to put in the work to make this community a beautiful one that reflects the beauty of Jesus Christ and the community that we individually have been invited to, and what our church ought to look like, so that our neighborhoods are transformed, so that when we have people who don't know who Jesus Christ is come into this room, they go, no, something's different. How does this room of diversity and different backgrounds and different areas and different ages, how do they all come together united? It's all in Jesus Christ. He is our cornerstone. He is our foundation. So as we move forward in this series, my encouragement and my reminder to each and every one of you is remember Christ. Remember what he's done for us. And as we talk about different aspects of community and the importance of it and how we do that well, let's get messy. Let's get messy. Let me just end with a couple of points of application. Again, for if we are remembering Christ, how do we have beautiful community? First, we got to humble ourselves. We got to say, you know what? I don't know everything. You know what? I'm willing to give this a go, though. I'm willing to put the preferences of my brothers and sisters before me. And again, that's costly because that goes, I'm giving up something. What if that person doesn't give up in response? But imagine if that's what Jesus did. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. Humble ourselves. Philippians 2, read it, memorize it, get that into our minds. We got to humble ourselves. And as Hebrews 10:24 encourages us to do, let's not forget to meet together. Let's not forget to meet together, not just on Sundays, but outside of Sundays, outside these walls. Are our neighbors, do they know that we're believers, meeting together with other believers? To my point, don't avoid conflict, right? Don't avoid conflict. Community is messy. But if we are able to humble ourselves, work through issues, work through the messiness of it all, remembering Christ at the center of it, that could transform our community. And the power of the Holy Spirit would do a mighty work, not just through us as individuals, but us as a church, us as witnesses. So let me pray for us, and I'll give it back to the worship team. Lord, we remember the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We remember his love for us, your love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He emptied himself. Christ became humble and obedient to the point of death on the cross for his own enemies, for me, for us, each individual in this room, asking nothing in return, but found it joy to give his life for us so that we can be invited into community with him. So as we move forward of journeying together, may we come to understand and know and build all of our community on the foundation that is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of it all. And may you be glorified in how we serve and love and care for one another in this building, but even as we go out to our work, our home, our friends, wherever it is. May you be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.